Welcome to your Thursday edition of the Hoosier Ag Today podcast for September 26th, 2024. I'm CJ Miller with Hoosier Ag Today, and the podcast is made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust, experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. Visit ffbt.com to learn more or stop by your local branch to talk about your ag operation today. Well, coming up on the podcast, you'll hear from Kyle Colbert with Channel Seed as he gives us a harvest progress update for Central and East Central Indiana. Eric Pfeiffer reports how former President Trump vows to make things far more challenging for John Deere. That's if he's reelected and if they continue to move production to Mexico. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin talks about whether the remnants of Hurricane Helene will bring rain to Indiana this weekend. And you'll hear from Tom Fritz with the EFG Group in Chicago as he talks about the factors that led to the strong gains that we saw Wednesday for soybean and wheat futures. That's all coming your way next on the Hoosier Ag Today podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, we know that when agriculture thrives, we all do. It's the heart and grit of our agricultural communities that keep the crops coming in and the livestock cared for day and night. That's why we build financial solutions around the needs and schedules of our ag clients. If you're looking for a financial partner that has over 135 years experience in understanding and supporting agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's harvest success together. First Farmers Bank and Trust, member FDIC, equal opportunity lender.
A harvest update from Central and East Central Indiana, and former President Trump with a warning for John Deere. I'm CJ Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. Well, according to USDA, 12% of Indiana's corn and 16% of the state's soybeans have already been harvested. Joining us is Kyle Colbert, a field sales representative for Channel Seeds. He's based out of Tipton County, but works out of East Central Indiana. In terms of harvest progress, how are things coming along for your farmers there in East Central Indiana?
I think those percentages would be fairly accurate. Here in Tipton County, we're just barely getting started. Majority of guys have not hit the fields yet. Now, if you do go in my territory, Newcastle area, those percentages would be quite a bit more accurate. But as far as my specific county goes, we might be 10% would be pushing it. We may even be at closer to 5% here in Tipton County, and more accurate percentages as you would go a little bit more south and to the east.
And Kyle, I'm curious, how are corn and soybean yields stacking up so far this year?
They've been mixed so far. A lot of the first results were from tar spot ridden fields or the driest fields. So those reports haven't been the greatest. Now, if you've had a field taken out with fungicide applied, those reports have been better than expected. So across the board, it has been mixed. We've heard moisture reports ranging from on corn, 11% to 19%. And on the soybean side of things, heard reports from 4% to 11%. So quite a bit drier than expected, along with that a range of yields across the board that we've been hearing.
Kyle, you mentioned tar spot. I've heard reports of stalk lodging. Has that been an issue in East Central Indiana as well this harvest season?
Yes, I would say tar spot especially has been the biggest issue that producers are facing. We've heard plenty of reports of a non-fungicide sprayed field versus a fungicide sprayed field versus a two-shot fungicide sprayed field. And from the no sprayed to the two pass, you could see a range of an 80 bushel difference just due to tar spot alone affecting those yields. Thinking about next year, absolutely plan to incorporate a fungicide application into your cost per acre. Over the last 2 years, we've definitely seen the return on investment. So take note from the growers that have not applied fungicide versus the growers that have even done two passes of it, and really make sure that you're incorporating that cost into your cost per acre.
Kyle Colbert with Channel Seed. You can hear more of our conversation at HoosierAgToday.com. Well, John Deere announced earlier this year their plans to lay off hundreds of workers and move production from Iowa to Mexico. Eric Pfeiffer shares why that could be an expensive move.
I'm just notifying John Deere right now. If you do that, we're putting a 200% tariff on everything that you want to sell into the United States.
That's former President Donald Trump laying out his plans for Deere & Company if reelected. He was speaking at a farming roundtable in Smithton, Pennsylvania earlier this week with John Deere tractors right in the background.
They think they're going to make product cheaper in Mexico and then sell it in for the same price as they did before, make a lot of money by getting rid of our labor and our jobs and really a great name, because John Deere is a great name. I buy a lot of John Deere. Tremendous. I'm one of their big customers. I buy a lot of John Deere product as a private person.
Trump says the tariffs would either A, make the U.S. a lot of money, or B,
if they think I'm going to win, or if I do win, they're going to announce that they're not going to build in Mexico. Mexico's taken a tremendous amount of our business, especially over the last few years with this group, because this group doesn't know what the hell they're doing. They have no idea what they're doing. Mexico is taking a lot of business, and a lot of it's done and financed by China.
Despite the layoffs, John Deere generated nearly $10.2 billion in profits in 2023, while the company's CEO, John May, received nearly $27 million in total compensation in 23. That according to the company's public filings with the SEC.
John Deere has got to understand that if they build in Mexico, if they start closing plants, in this case it was in Iowa, they're going to close a big plant and a couple of them. And that's just the beginning. The problem is that's just the beginning. Then all of a sudden you'll hear in a year from now they're going to do another one. All of a sudden they're not going to be in the country anymore. They're going to have to pay a very big price to be able to sell that product into the United States.
Read more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Eric Pfeiffer.
And I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Attention, Indiana farmers. Have you heard of the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance? We're a coalition of ag, conservation, and university partners dedicated to helping improve your profits and preserve nutrients through improved soil management. The Alliance has developed resources to share proven practices that will keep you at the forefront of better nutrient management. Go to inagnutrients.org to see why conserving soil is an idea older than dirt and something we can all dig.
Sunny and dry today across the Hoosier State. We may have to deal with the remains of a hurricane later tomorrow into the weekend. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. I'm a little more comfortable now with talking about where Helene wants to go. She's going to be making landfall in eastern parts of Florida's panhandle overnight tonight into early tomorrow morning. We are going to be seeing a fairly significant plume of cloud cover and moisture trying to come north ahead of the storm itself. So I think clouds are going to be building in the southern parts of Indiana later this afternoon and evening. However, I don't think moisture is a big story in most of the state all the way through the day tomorrow. Southern tier counties of the state likely see rain showers starting by tomorrow morning to midday, but I don't think the rain pushes too far north until tomorrow evening and then overnight into early Saturday morning. That's where we could see rain showers in central and southern Indiana, maybe even as far north as Fort Wayne in the east. Rains generally are going to be a quarter to half an inch or less, except in south and southwest Indiana, where they can be significantly heavier. Even though we're talking about some hurricane-related moisture making it into Indiana for the weekend, I think that we're going to start to dry down on Sunday. Yes, some lingering clouds, maybe a spotty shower or two as this circulation kind of dies out. But from Monday all the way through Saturday next week, we are sunny, we are warm, we are dry. A harvest window unfolds that's going to be magnificent here. Hopefully, this will be after the last couple of rains that allowed a little moisture to get soaked up into some very dry beans or things like that. Hopefully, the moisture helps the harvest, but it's going to be wide open, good evaporation, good drying, fast drying all through next week. And look, the pattern can continue. There's a large upper level ridge over the Great Plains, so I think that we could go into the week of the 7th without much moisture here as well. So good harvest conditions coming after the little pause that we've worked our way through here. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Harvest means early mornings, late nights, and long days in the field. While you're out there each day until the last pass is made and the job is done, know that your friends at Farm Credit Mid-America see your hard work and appreciate all of your long hours. We know that harvest is a busy season for you, but when you need a lender that can rise with you, give us a call at 800-444-FARM. This fall, we rise together. subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Strong gains for soybean and wheat futures. I'm CJ Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today in the Wednesday Farm Market Review. With grain market analysis, it's time to check in with Tom Fritz with the EFG Group in Chicago. We both spoke just after the close of trade on Wednesday. Well, we end the day with gains for corn, soybeans, and wheat futures. The dry conditions in Brazil and across South America continue to have a bullish impact on the grain markets here in the U.S., Tom.
You're absolutely right, CJ. Right now, soybeans, you know, a lot of concerns about the hot and dry in the primary growing areas of Brazil. We're talking Mato Grosso do Sul, Mato Grosso. The southern, southeastern areas, they have been seeing some rain. But, as far as the further north areas, no, it continues to be hot and dry. Mato Grosso, it's an everyday occurrence to see temperatures at 105 degrees. There is rain in the forecast, however, beginning sometime next week and the following week. But, I think we're to the point where the trade wants to see it before they believe it. And some of the longer-term forecasters are suggesting that, yeah, we'll see the seasonal rain in October, early November, but it's not going to be a trend changer. So that'll be interesting. That'll be interesting. And couple that with there are some concerns here in the U.S. about the dry finish to the majority of the soybean crop is diminishing the yield some. But will the USDA acknowledge that? If it is true, how long will it take them to acknowledge that? Will they allude to it in the October report, the November report? I think most people are thinking, nah, the way the USDA operates, they won't let us know until January. But one thing I can't help but notice, interior basis levels for soybeans, despite it being harvest time, are showing signs of stabilizing, in fact, even improving. And the Gulf basis for beans is rather strong. Now, some will say, well, that's due to the low draft levels. Well, why isn't it impacting the corn basis down at the Gulf? Corn basis down at the Gulf is going in the other direction. So not sure what that's all about. But, bottom line is we've got our speculative shorts, meaning the large speculator and the funds. Those shorts, we've got them on the ropes right now. They're trend traders. And, we've got a little bit of an interim trend that reads higher. So, I think... we had a correction yesterday. The lack of downside follow-through prompted additional short covering today. Soybean oil, that's the leader in your product markets, and that's all about bean oil demand for SAF, Sustainable Aviation Fuels. It's become a little bit of a political football. Granted, there's a lot of credits. Production credits involved with the production of bean oil for SAF. And a lot of SAF has been made from used cooking oil. And we import a tremendous amount of used cooking oil from China. Now the politicians are now saying imported cooking oil is not eligible for production credits. So that creates even better demand for soybean oil. Soybean meal goes along for the ride. But, right now your leader is soybean oil. But, bean meal doesn't break down. So as long as the bean meal doesn't break down, soybeans will be able to hold their own with the short covering. Corn, I don't think corn has much of a story, CJ. We've got a big crop out there. The dry finish to the corn crop is not as impactful to corn as it is soybeans. Demand for U.S. corn, it's okay, but is it market making? Well, you look at the price structure within the futures market, lots of carry there. So, that's suggesting that, the demand is not the best, at least not enough to offset the big crop. We've got a quarterly stocks report coming in on Monday, and all that's going to do is finalize last year's carryout number and trade guesses. They're not too different from the carryout projections that we're seeing now. Same thing holds true for soybeans. The wheat market, I think it's all about what's going on in the Black Sea area. It's dry over there. There's some concerns about the size of the Russian crop, meaning what they're trying to finish up harvesting right now. The northern areas got inundated with excessive rainfall. So there's some ideas that maybe the Russian crop won't be as big. Plus what they're sowing for new crop, the sowing rates are extremely slow. What did I read today? Hasn't been this slow for 11 years. And a lot of folks are saying that could eventually impact yield. Well, that's a long way off. So, but the bottom line, once again, we've got some pretty decent short covering here. Also concerns about Ukraine. Ukraine talks about they don't have the amount of milling wheat that they've had in past years. And there, too, they're having some issues with planting the new crop. So bottom line, a lot of Russian input in our wheat market, providing fuel for the shorts to cover. And if you go look at the most recent commitment of traders, they're net short wheat, corn, and beans, and the trend over the last number of weeks has been to cover shorts. So granted, it's harvest time, but right now, the futures market is not really exhibiting any harvest pressure. Basis levels for beans, as I've said, they're fully stable. Corn basis levels have been under the gun, but they are now, too, starting to show some stability. So bottom line, I don't think this rally is totally fundamental, as its short covering is the best strength that we're seeing.
Tom Fritz with the EFG Group in Chicago. Settlements from Wednesday, December corn up 3.5 at 4.15 1/4. March 2.5 higher at 4.33 1/4. November soybeans gaining 11 cents at 10.53 1/4. January 11 1/4 higher at 10.71 3/4. And December wheat climbing 11 1/4 to 5.89 1/4. October live cattle 15 cents lower at 183.05, but October lean hogs up 35 cents at 82.47. Don't forget to check out HoosierAgToday.com. It's your home for all the latest Indiana farm news. I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.